Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Now, today we've got a couple things that we need to go over. It has been reported to me within the last 2 hours. We've got brand new reports coming out of Ukraine that Russia has once again used chemical weapons on Ukrainian troops. Now, issue this time, as opposed to before, is that these chemical weapons not just were, how do you want to say, tear gas agents, but have also caused extensive blistering on the troops that were involved. And additionally, those troops that were targeted in this attack, it looks like we have multiple fatalities that the early reporting is coming out on that. Now, those troops should be heading back for treatment, and hopefully all of that gets documented. In the meantime, we have a lot of people that are going to end up rolling into this live chat. We ended up announcing on the Discord before we ended up getting out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover some of the other stuff while we wait for everybody to get in here. Once everybody's up and in here, we're going to get into like the main meat and potatoes of the show. Then we're going to flex on over to the Middle East. We're going to talk about some of the new things that are coming out of the Middle East. John Wilson, good to see you. You've been a member of 16 months. Now, in case, I don't know. I always say, like, in case you've been living in a rock, but Pope Francis ended up dying on Easter Sunday.
Pray for you every day. God bless you. So good to see you.
Good morning. How are you?
Find yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Not been feeling great, but it's good to see you in better health. Thank you.
These are for your children.
Okay, thank you.
These are the gifts. These are also gifts for you.
Thank you. It's beautiful.
The Vatican tie, and then the rosaries for your wife, the white for your children, and the one, red one is for you. Thank you very much for your visit.
Of course, of course. And thank you for seeing me.
I mean, he basically looks dead in that photo right there. Like, he, like, if the Pope was running the Catholic Church at this point, I would say you would have to believe that Joe Biden was running the White House over his last year to 2 years in office. I mean, the dude just looks freaking like distraught. Hey, that's because Nate Vance was on here. I'm sorry. I need to update those buttons. Yeah. What the heck, man? There ain't a snowball's chance in hell that the freaking Pope was like actually doing good. Now, after all of that ended up happening, Pope ends up dying on Easter Sunday. Everybody is kind of like up in arms over what's going to happen to the Catholic Church. Why do I keep pressing the wrong button? Everybody's up in arms over what's going to happen to the Catholic Church. And I mean, that's basically all there is to it. They're going through everything. One brand new thing that I ended up learning today was that they indeed are going to, well, I don't even want to go there. But listen, end of the day, Pope's dead. You're going to get a new pope. If you're Catholic, you're getting a new pope. We'll see what ends up happening. Life ends for everybody, and it definitely ended for the Pope. Now, Pete Hegseth is back under new scrutiny today over inside of the Middle East because of another rumored leaked signal chat that came out at the same exact time of the last one. Allegedly, his wife, along with a couple other family members and everybody else, was put into a signal chat prior to the inauguration, and it had to do with a lot of other stuff, but they were left in there and it ended up getting leaked out. Now, all that stuff ended up coming from the New York Times, and you're going to hear the White House's reaction in just a minute, but here we go for the SecDef's reaction.
This is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not going to work with me, because we're changing the Defense Department, putting the Pentagon back in the hands of warfighters, and anonymous smears from disgruntled former employees on old news doesn't matter.
Yeah, now why is he saying disgruntled former employees? Because they ended up letting go a member of the staff just the other day due to suspected intel leaks and a couple other things. And yeah, that's really about it. White House has came out and they've adamantly denied that it ever happened. As a matter of fact, here is Donald Trump.
There was a new report this weekend that he used in a separate chat that included some family members.
It's the same old stuff from the media. That's an old one. Try finding something new.
Yeah, nobody cares about it. White House has already came out and said that no, it didn't in fact happen. Yes, you're going to see my leg. No, it doesn't mean that I'm not wearing pants. It just simply means I have shorts on. So everybody calm down. John Wilson coming in with 200. Jesus, he says, I know this is random, but I work on the factory that makes various types of medical tapes and wound dressings. And one of the orders we completed yesterday was going to Israel. Had me wondering if by crazy happenstance, maybe it would get used to help heal injuries sustained in the conflict. Yeah, man, 100%, John Wilson. So what I'm seeing coming out of Israel right now, well, one, I ended up seeing earlier reports of a mass casualty event that ended up taking place. I want to say it was over the weekend. It was either like late Friday or over the weekend. I think the early reports I ended up seeing coming out of it, and it was somewhere in the south, down around like the Rafah area. And what they were saying is that they ended up setting an ambush on an IDF vehicle, hit with like a deep barrage or something like that, killed a bunch of people. Saw another video today that I may or may not have in the stack, where it actually looks like they didn't even ambush Israeli troops. It actually looks like they ended up in back. I don't want to say it. It looks like they ended up ambushing contractors that were traveling down the Netzarim corridor, hit them with RPGs, small arms fire. One of the vehicles ended up flipping over. But either way, we're kind of getting down to the end of the line over inside of Gaza, to where the Israelis are kind of set up to the point where they need to basically shit or get off the pot, for lack of better terms. Their stages are set up outside of everything, and they're just basically waiting on the go-ahead order. Now, I've got it saved up in the stack for a little bit, but the commander of U.S. CENTCOM, General Kirilla, is on his way over into Israel, reportedly over the next day to 2 days, and he's going to end up taking ground over in Israel. Ben Gvir, I'm going to talk about it here in a little bit, is on the ground here in the United States of America, reportedly for a meeting with Donald Trump. Now, those two different things, when you end up adding them together, you got to wonder what it is they're talking about. And I think it has to do with a meeting that took place, which is kind of what leads us into the chemical weapon discussion of what I'm being told took place over on the front lines inside of Ukraine today. And we'll end up getting that up over here on a map. Give me one sec. And what it sounds like is that Russia and Iran ended up signing a new agreement or a new pact today. And this has been widely reported on, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. And what that new pact consisted of was a lot of different things, but it also reminds me of a lot of the different things that I've been telling you all about for a while, which is you need to look out for the U.S. dollar because Russia is going to be going after it. They know a little bit better. Now, Russia and Iran, as far as like this new partnership agreement ends up going, had to do with basically the way they're going to conduct business over the next 20 years. They have the ability to renew it every 5 or so years. It increases intel sharing. Now, this is where it gets kind of interesting. So Russia and Iran are increasing intel sharing. And right now, we ended up seeing statements come out of Iran that says, absolutely not. Y'all can kiss our ass. We're not even worried about chemical weapons, but at the same, or our nuclear programs, right? Steve Witkoff ended up saying that they're not allowed to enrich uranium above 3.6%, but they're basically saying that they're not going to abandon that program. And part of this deal that ended up going between Russia and Iran had to do with, check this out, peaceful nuclear power. Okay. So making sure that they get up, end up getting it. Now, according to the, I forget whatever freaking deal it was, off the top of my head that was signed back in like 2015. But that deal ended up 2015, 2016, but that deal, January, 2016. Yeah. That deal ended up allowing them to have like, I want to say it was like 600 pounds of enriched uranium. But the issue is that the IAEA came out and said that they have 60% enriched uranium, upwards of 600 pounds of it. And that's kind of a problem because you only need like, it's like less than 5%. All right. For, nuclear energy. There's other uses, obviously, for nuclear energy, but the way it looks right now and the way kind of everything's going is Iran's kind of in between a rock and a hard place. And with the negotiations falling through, you know, last week we ended up seeing the Secretary of Defense, Marco Rubio, ended up coming out and saying that, listen, over inside of Ukraine, we're kind of on a shit or get off the pot standpoint where they need to come out and either need to come to the table or like kind of all bets are off as far as these peace talks and these peace negotiations go. You know, with everything that's going on over there, it kind of makes you wonder. It kind of makes you wonder, if you will, these new reports, these chemical weapons coming out. And I've got the map coming up for you guys just a sec. With the new reports tonight of these chemical weapons coming out, whether or not Putin kind of feels like he's in that spot where it's just kind of that time, which is why I brought up the geopolitical side of all of this a while ago, because you got to pay attention to it if you want to know what the enemy's going to end up doing. It's just kind of like a part of the game, guys. And that's going to lead into this. This is a statement Trump ended up making as well.
I mean, I hear they're doing that whole thing again. Here we go again. Just a waste of time.
He is doing a great job. Why do you still have confidence?
Because he's doing a great job.
Even if he's sharing.
Ask the Hooties how he's doing. Ask the Hooties how much dysfunction they have.
Did he call him the Hooties? Ask the Hooties how he's doing. He's saying ask the Hooties how the SecDef is currently doing. And I want to say he's putting that information out for a reason. Everything's kind of got like a double meaning behind it, especially when you start involving Russia and Iran, when we start looking at all the bullshit they're doing and that they're kind of up to on the global stage. So let's just go ahead and get this map up on the screen. Brandon Crook coming in, giving out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Appreciate you, brother. So we're going to go ahead and zoom in all the way down on here. As far as like the Houthis go and the amount of bombing that's taking place, I've seen reports over the last 24 hours or so that upwards of like 25 plus sorties have been ran over inside of Sana'a. Or I'm sorry, not on Sana'a, but over in like the Houthi-controlled territory. So we're increasingly keeping up the pressure on the Houthis, and that's not going anywhere. And that pressure that's being, you know, like held up on the Houthis over in the eastern side, or excuse me, the western side of Yemen, basically allows for this Red Sea to open up. So if you guys haven't been following the channel, or if you're new to the channel, make sure you like and subscribe to it. That Red Sea opening up affects Russian oil shipments, okay, and their ability to deliver oil up over into Asia. Why does that matter? Because Russia has been moving massive amounts of freaking oil through the Suez Canal, okay, through the Red Sea, and getting that crap shipped out all the way up over into Asia. That's allowed them to fund the freaking war effort. Now, Russia ended up coming out today and backing up Iran with their nuclear freaking program, right? And at the same time, we end up getting word that Russia is going to back up Iran's nuclear energy program, peaceful nuclear energy program. We start getting word that chemical weapons have been deployed up over on the front line. Now, they also said that they're going to ramp up intel sharing. How freaking convenient is that for Russia and Iran to ramp up intel sharing up over on the front line at the same time that the United States and Israel are about to be launching a major airstrike over on Iran if they don't come to the negotiating table? All of that happened at the same time that I got reports this morning that over inside of Israel, we had large amounts of Lyft aircraft over the last 24 hours. And for Lyft, for those of you who are unfamiliar with it, we're talking about cargo aircraft, aircraft that are sending in mass amounts of equipment. And it's suspected that that equipment has been bombs. Now, Israel has been bombing the shit out of the Gaza Strip over the last 24 hours. I mean, I've got some highlight reels of random stuff coming out of Gaza for you here in just a little bit. But Israel's been bombing the crap out of the Gaza Strip over the last 24 hours. And it looks like what I told you guys last week, it's kind of that time, right? And with the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, coming out last week saying, listen, over inside of Russia, negotiations are off. And that matters, right? Well, he didn't say negotiations are off. What he said is we're running out of time and we're not really going to put up with this crap. That matters. And it matters for a very big reason. When we're looking at who is going to go into Iran and verify this nuclear weapons program, about the only people that Iran would even consider letting go in to do that is going to be Russia. And what we just saw today was Russia and Iran signing a pact of Iranians, like, you know, nuclear energy development. So who is it that we can trust to go in and do that? Because the IAEA ended up saying 60% in uranium, 600 pounds. Do you think Russia is going to tell the United States of America and Israel the truth? Hell no. Why would they do that when literally, I actually had to look it up to make sure it was true, literally 35% of their aerial munitions that are crossing from Russia into Ukraine, that are coming across the Ukrainian front lines, are Iranian. All right? These two conflicts, ladies and gentlemen, people are looking at as if they are separate issues, and they're not realizing that they are, in fact, one and the same. It's kind of starting to drive me nuts. Like, us as Americans, the EU, Europeans, whoever the hell you are that are watching this program, these are not separate issues. These are quite literally one and the same. Now, they have different ideologies that go behind them when we look at them. Oh, my goodness. They have different ideologies behind them when we look at them. But as far as what Iran wants to do and what Russia wants to do, and truthfully, if we want to ball in China into this whole thing, that's all the same freaking thing. Their ideologies all align. The ideologies between China, the ideologies between Iran, and the ideologies between Russia, and they all freaking align. And all it is their right to their ancestral homeland, really, when you think about it. And so when we start zooming in and we start looking at this on a smaller scale, Russia feels like it has a right to that Ukrainian territory. Iran feels like it has a right to Israel, as well as to control the Middle East. And China, for the love of God, just wants to be left the hell alone, and they want Taiwan back. That's what they want. And so they're all working together in conjunction. Russia is getting its material support from China. They're also getting weapon support from Iran. Iran's getting freaking support from Russia, or was, over inside of Syria, inside Lebanon, in order to wage war against Israel. And China's going to benefit from all of this crap economically had we not thrown massive amounts of sanctions on them. And when we do that, it raises the price that Russia is going to have to pay in order to get those materials from China. And in cutting out Russia from trading all their oil through the freaking Red Sea, it puts a huge strain on freaking Russia. And then as soon as all of this stuff starts to come to flourishing, what do we end up getting today? End up getting phone calls. I mean, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go back over to the map. End up getting phone calls, and I start getting reports that are coming out of, let me get up on here, coming out of the Kharkiv region, right up over here, the Kharkiv region. So let me back out. So for those that are unaware of what you're looking at, everything in red is current Russian-occupied Ukraine. That includes Crimea down here in the south, and it includes what is commonly referred to as Lambridge, along with the Donetsk and Luhansk, okay? But over here inside of, like right outside of Kharkiv, okay, because this is where these reports are coming out of, outside of Kharkiv, going up over towards Belgorod, what we are starting to hear is that today Russia ended up deploying chemical weapons. Now, those reports that we ended up getting coming out of that region initially was freaking chaos. It was chaos. Chaos. And then once you're able to calm people down and start talking to them, what you end up starting to hear is, hey, listen, it's not like it was just, you know, an immediate freaking hit and everything else. And I see all the freaking like Russians in here screaming, it's a psyop from Zelensky. It's this, it's that. Yeah, sure, man. Whatever you want to say. I've listened to people before. I've talked to people before. I've been there multiple times. I'm kind of over the psyop bullshit when it comes down to it. If there's one psyop that's taking place in this world, it is between Russia and the United States. And it's Russia employing psychological operations on the United States of America in conjunction with China, the Palestinian people, and all the other jihadists around to destabilize the United States of America. There, I said it. And what we are starting to see, right, is these bots and these trolls coming into these chats and coming up over and screwing me on Twitter and everywhere else, trying to suppress actual information that's coming out. That's what you're starting to notice. And so it's getting a little bit old seeing all these freaking nut jobs down in the chat that want to say stuff like that. It's not the case. I'm not going to put shit out unless I've, like me personally, I feel it's valid information. I have a little bit looser, okay, of a way to be capable of reporting this stuff, being a podcast host versus somebody that's like sitting on there. But when we talk about national security issues, this is one of them. And so I'm going to give you guys the utmost of my ability, the accurate information as I'm getting it. And what did I end up hearing is that initially up over here in this region, what we ended up having, okay, was multiple rockets that ended up pouring in. Following the rocket attack was multiple airburst munitions. Those airburst munitions then ended up leading to lots of coughing and gagging up on the front line and slight skin irritation. Following the skin irritation, there was a sustained firefight that continued to occur over an undetermined period of time because people are in a damn firefight. Everybody calmed down. They weren't like starting their stopwatch going, I've been exposed for X amount of time. They weren't even 100% positive. This is what took place. And by the way, these aren't the first people that end up reporting this type of stuff. Then they start getting massive. And this is where it gets, this is where it changes from all the freaking, what do you want to call it? Not CS gas, but like riot control gas and things like that, that, you know, Russia has deployed in the past. Then we start getting additional reports that are coming in that not only are these people like gagging and everything else and their skin's on fire, but then it turns into not just skin on fire, but they're now pulling back off the front because they are completely and totally jacked up with their skin being on fire, that then they start to blister. And blistering is one of those things when it goes down to blister agents, it takes a minute to form. It's not like in the movies. It's not like anything else where it's just like immediately your skin starts to boil. That's not how this shit works. It takes a while for it to set. Soaks into the skin. Imagine that. And so then they start pulling back off the line. Yeah, now I see people in chat saying, no, that's not CS gas. You're correct. That's not tear gas when you start to blister. And so they take these guys, and they start medevacing them back. And as they're medevacing them back off of the front, guess what? A couple of them start passing away. A couple of them start dying. Then the same type of symptoms that started setting in on the guys originally start setting in on the medics that are treating them, down to skin irritation and all that shit. Start developing blisters over time. Sarin gas. No. Sarin gas has been ruled out. I see that down in the chat section. Sarin gas has been ruled out of this one because of the time of exposure to the time of death. Multiple deaths have been reported unconfirmed coming out of this. So sarin gas gets completely and totally ruled out of this one because sarin gas immediately starts setting into like pulmonary failure, basically. You start gagging, you start choking, and you're down, right? This one, not so much. It was a prolonged, all right, onset of symptoms, leading to blisters and eventually numerous fatalities. That's the problem. So this is vastly different than anything I've heard in the past before. Vastly different than anything I've heard in the past before coming out. And all of that stuff is coming out of the Kharkiv region, pushing north towards Belgorod. So somewhere in between point A and point B, and you guys can clearly see the flot or the front line, forward line of trace of the troops, blah. It's a problem. And this is the crap that Russia's diverted to, and why? Why would Russia all of a sudden today start diverting to this? Because this is a sign of exactly what the hell Marco Rubio was talking about. It's time to shit or get off the pot, basically, is what he said last week. And right now, all signs are pointing towards, regardless of what happens inside of Iran, the Houthis are not going to be in control of this country. They're not. Those days are gone. We're over it. At the point you start killing merchant sailors, taking a shit ton of people hostage, sinking freaking ships, and just deciding that you're going to shut down international trade affecting $164 billion estimated dollars, all right, over inside of the EU and their GDP, nope, you don't get to play that game anymore. And so the international community is going to be taking a stand, and the Houthis are going to be done. And when that happens, Russia loses control over the Suez Canal. Yeah, I said Russia loses control over the Suez Canal. Because prior to all this, they were the ones pushing 50% exports and oil through there. No, they accounted for 50% of the oil that was passing through the Suez Canal prior to all this crap. And now they are the vast, vast percentage of freaking oil that's being transported through there. And all of that is allowing them to capitalize on the market over in Asia. So when we start to cut that out, and Russia's war effort starts to freaking dwindle, their dollar starts to dwindle, all of a sudden, we get chemical weapons reports being deployed out of Kharkiv on the same exact day that we find out that Russia and Iran end up signing a pact or an agreement, if you will, to allow Iran to have a peaceful nuclear program. Kiss my ass. Something else really interesting ended up coming out of that as well. I saw a comment come through. I don't want to miss the super chat. Jason says, what happens if they water it down? Depends on the agent. We don't know what the agent is right now. Me speculating on the agent wouldn't do any good. Have I seen zombie soldier videos from Ukraine? Yes, I have. But me speculating on the agent that Russia deployed wouldn't do any good. And again, it's all going to be unconfirmed for the time being. And even if it does end up getting confirmed, if we end up getting a lot of good intel on it, what do you think the odds are? Seriously, think about it. What do you think the odds are that anybody's going to own up to it? They're going to allow it to happen. What it is it's a sign of shit to come. Now, if we start seeing multiple reports of this across the front lines in Ukraine, you know it's on. Who do you think who would have the ability to actually go into Iran and inspect that nuclear weapons program? Who can we trust to do that? To make sure it's properly taken care of? Who in the world freaking exists? Who? Even the IAEA is getting freaking squinty-eyed looked at. Like, but is it really 60% enriched uranium? Do they really have 601 pounds of it? Yeah, they do, according to the IAEA. Who are we going to rely on to go into Iran and do that? Good question. So right now we're looking to run and we're saying, okay, and you got to put yourself in freaking Trump's position. You got to put yourself in Hegseth's position. You got to put yourself in Vance's position. You got to put yourself in the entire National Security Council's position. And what the hell are we going to do? Because one other key thing came out during that meeting with Russia and Iran. They are developing a brand new banking system to be able to send money back and forth to each other for international trade so that they do not have to rely on traditional banking methods. Imagine that. Why is that important? Because number one, it means the tariffs, or excuse me, not the tariffs, it means the sanctions that are being like freaking imposed on Russia and Iran will have minimum impact. Minimum impact, because they're going to have their own banking system in order to do that, in order to send shit back and forth to each other. Number two, it is one step closer to what the hell I told you guys about with BRICS and them having their own currency. Obviously, they're going to need a way to transmit said currency. And right here, it seems to me like they've got a great freaking plan for development of sending this shit out. For those of you that are concerned about it, I sat around and did the math, currently co-authoring a white paper on it. With everything that's taking place around the world, we haven't talked about Xi Jinping. We haven't talked really about like the effects of this. We haven't talked about anything. But at the end of the day, how the math comes out to be is if this is implemented today, if all of the BRICS nations decide to trade solely on a BRICS currency, an agreed upon currency, and the US dollar is taken away. Now, remember, that includes Saudi Arabia. Last time I checked, they're a BRICS nation. It's a lot of oil, baby. Petroleum dollar, done. US dollar would take a freaking 20% hit over the next 5 years if it was implemented today, and you would see a lot of that. And that's in conjunction with freaking inflation and several other things. Like, it's quite literally unpredictable. So what the hell are we going to do? Well, we got to stop it, don't we? Which brings me to my next point. What the hell is happening in the Middle East, and how do we plan on stopping this? I'm seeing several in agreement on the mustard gas theory. That's good. And until we get it confirmed, I'm not even going to bother speculating on it. Because it's not 100%. It is not. I can't stress that enough. It hasn't been 100% confirmed. I've been promised pictures and things like that that should be coming off the front. Hopefully I get those. Hopefully I get them. Because that's what actually matters. This brings me to my next point. U.S. is scheduled to go into peace talks with Iran. Excuse me, not peace talks. Let's call them like anti-nuclear weapon talks over the next couple days. And we're seeing a lot more rhetoric coming out of Iran. On Wednesday, they're supposed to have another chat that's supposed to be taking place. What the word on the street is between, what's coming out of Iran is that, hey, we've came into some sort of agreement with the U.S. on what this is going to look like. And then we see Iran and Russia partner up today. So I don't have a lot of freaking faith when it comes out to what this is. But it's how it's supposed to be implemented and what's supposed to be implemented in it. And the ISIS flat out came out and was like, this is bullshit. Any rumors of X, Y, and Z, it's not going to happen. So what's that mean? That means that right now, all right, as Israel is pushing into Gaza, all right, they're going to be forced to make a decision. And again, Ben-Gvir ends up flying into the U.S. and freaking General Kirilla is on his way over into Israel. Weird that we have these two different freaking leaders of each nation. General Kirilla freaking controls the CENTCOM area of responsibility. We know we have an entire Patriot battalion that deployed to the CENTCOM ARR. Multiple freaking like lift aircraft that have been going in and out of Israel over the last 48 hours. Multiple B-2 Spirit bombers. 6 at least confirmed that we know of down in Diego Garcia. Plus reports of B-1s. Plus reports of the freaking B-21, plus reports of the F-18 squadron that moved into freaking Jordan, plus 2 aircraft carriers, entire carrier strike groups, unknown amount of freaking nuclear subs that are in the area, all of that hardware, all of that crap pushed into the Middle East over the last several weeks. That is a scary thought. because what is yet to come? Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, suspected ground campaign over here in Yemen. Everybody's like allegedly stacked up over there. So what's that mean? That means that Israel right now has been taking mass casualties inside Gaza because they've been sitting back and they've been waiting. And I think Israel is kind of growing a little bit impatient. There's a huge riot taking place today over in Tel Aviv. I won't even call it a riot. Called a huge protest taking place in Tel Aviv, trying to push, all right, trying to push Netanyahu in order to do a hostage deal. And they're not going to take it. It already came out that freaking Israel and Hamas can't come to an agreement on the hostage negotiation situation. Told you it wasn't going to happen. It's not going to. They don't have an option right now. So what's that leave for Israel? By the way, this is Ben-Gavir coming to the U.S. I got to turn it down. It's just a bunch of people yelling at him. So what's that mean for everybody coming over like and looking at it? Well, that means that Israel has to make a decision. Do they continue to kind of like sit there and allow Hamas to have freedom of movement through a lot of these areas? Or do they actually go in and do something about it? And I think what the answer is Israel is going to go in and do something about it. And we're starting to see a lot of signs on the ground that that's going to happen within the next 7 to 10-ish days, if not sooner. Hamas has caused at least one, if not two, mass casualty incidents that I'm aware of over inside Gaza. And they're continuing to do this crap. And now we have, here he is, Ben-Gavir. There you can see him walking through the airport, Miami. And my favorite part of this entire thing, not only was he like walking through the airport over inside of Miami, but I love this dude. This dude, I'm not sure how this happened, but this guy over here ended up following me on Twitter. And there's Ben-Gavir inside of a gun store down in Florida. One of the places he goes and visits is a gun store. I think it's hilarious. I don't know why. And then you got like good old redneck American guy behind the counter, you know, like vaping, like while Ben-Gavir is like checking out a gun store. Pretty cool. So what's it all mean? Well, it means Israel can't wait any longer. All right. Here's Carrillo for you. Carrillo supposedly going up over into Israel. These are going to be your final coordinations for the attack. Rumor has been that Israel wanted to go in and bomb the crap out of Iran not that long ago, but Donald Trump told him to hold off. And now we have Carrillo going back into Israel, and we have Ben-Gavir in the United States of America. I would assume that these are the final coordinations for the attack that's up and coming, especially if these reports are true. We've been wasting our time over inside of Yemen, waiting on everything to kind of like come through as well. Here's another picture. Ah, dang it. There we go again. Here's another picture of another freaking Reaper, supposedly. I can't deal with like them talking and stuff, that ended up going down over inside Yemen. The Houthis shot it down. No, they didn't. These pieces of shit crash all the time. If the Houthis shot this thing down, boy, oh boy, where the hell is the frag from it? And why is it all in one piece covered in freaking dust? I don't even know who this guy is. I don't freaking care. Where's it at? Here it is. I don't see it being shot. These just pieces of crap end up crashing. And we're losing money on a daily basis. Pristine, thank you. But the Houthis will claim they shut it down. They also claimed at one point in time they shut down the Truman, the Eisenhower, freaking they sank U.S. warships. They've claimed tons of stuff over the last freaking year plus. But we've been playing this game with them for far too long, in my opinion. And they've been firing ballistic missiles, all right? They've been firing ballistic missile after ballistic missile after ballistic missile over to Israel. They've been firing cruise missiles, anti-ship ballistic missiles, all sorts of shit at our freaking ships over in the Red Sea. But I think it's about that time. I think we're tired of waiting. I think we're tired of playing games. I think all of this stuff is starting to come to an end. Now, over inside Gaza, over the last 24 hours, what it seems like is that Israel has just been conducting sortie after sortie after sortie. I've got reports of tents being hit outside. Excuse me, not reports, tents being hit. Complaints of tents being hit outside of freaking Rafah. I've got complaints of like airstrikes in Gaza City. I've got complaints of airstrikes going on inside of freaking Khan Yunis. I've got complaints of airstrikes going on all around the Gaza Strip. And this is all following those numerous mass casualty incidents. What's being said is that all of these airstrikes going on inside of Gaza, all of these airstrikes going on over inside of Gaza is just basically been like a constant bombardment. And that would make sense with all of the different lift aircraft that have landed over inside of Israel. It would also make sense that we're deploying additional munitions to Israel to help target Iran with. I don't know which one it is. I'm not privy to that information, but what I do know is that there's a massive campaign that's about to take place on some scale and some location, and you can easily predict what's going to happen when all of that goes down. Easily. Also, if you didn't know, Mike Huckabee just became the new U.S. ambassador to Israel. And even Mike Huckabee, who, truthfully, I wanted to vote for president years ago when he was like up and trying to run for it, but even Mike Huckabee ended up coming out with some very strong words against the international community when you listen.
Hello, I'm Mike Huckabee, U.S. Ambassador to Israel. This past weekend, Dr. Hanan Balki, who is the regional coordinator for the WHO for the Eastern Mediterranean region, called upon me to put more pressure on Israel to bring humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza. I appreciate the message from Dr. Balki, and today what I would like to suggest is that we work together on putting the pressure where it really belongs, on Hamas, to give us the opportunity to open up those humanitarian channels. So we call upon Hamas to sign an agreement so that humanitarian aid can flow into Gaza to the people who desperately need it. When that happens and hostages are released, which is an urgent matter for all of us, then we hope that that humanitarian aid will flow and flow freely, knowing that it will be done without Hamas being able to confiscate and abuse their own people by not allowing those resources to get to the people who desperately need it.
Now, if you didn't know, the U.S. ambassador to any nation essentially is the voice of the president of the United States of America. So U.S. ambassador inside of Israel, he's the voice of the president of the United States of America inside Israel. And so what we're seeing is a drastic shift in U.S. policy over inside of the Middle East, particularly inside of Israel and particularly inside of Gaza. And them standing up, Mike Huckabee coming out and saying, you know what? No. I hear your whines and complaints about freaking humanitarian aid, but the fact is that it can't be delivered unless Hamas freaking like stops being Hamas. Well, that's all you need to know. And Israel is going to make sure that those people end up getting their aid. If we're going to blame Hamas for it and say that Hamas is the problem, then, well, Israel's got to do something about Hamas. And so, again, increased airstrikes all across Gaza Strip over the last freaking 24 hours, 24 to 48 hours, increased airstrikes all across. Well, shit. I mean, take a look at it. Airstrike after airstrike after airstrike. Israel is getting ready for a ground offensive inside Gaza. There, in my opinion, is not really another way to interpret the situation. Israel is getting ready for a ground offensive inside Gaza, and they're going to crush it. And it is going to be unlike anything that you've seen in the past. In the past, you ended up having the United States government. You ended up having like the international community. You had tons of people that wanted to sit back and complain to Israel and tell them that you're doing the wrong thing, that you need to be nicer to everybody, that you need to like capitulate to Hamas. Why? Why did we see that? Because of idiots like this. This is over at Columbia University again. Morons and kifas shutting down a freaking gate. People that couldn't even point out to you Gaza on a map. People that couldn't even define what's going on in the Middle East regionally. End up locking themselves to the gate over at the university again. Columbia, can we stop doing this crap? We're over it. The United States of America isn't putting up with this anymore. Trump administration clearly isn't putting up with this crap anymore. We're going in and we're going to end up destroying and defeating Hamas. And when I say we, I don't mean we as in like the United States government is not going in, but Israel's going in and we're going to help support them by going after the Houthis, by going after Iran. And also, we're going to end up supporting Ukraine vastly because of these bullshit freaking attacks by Putin and him not wanting to come to the table. And I'm going to leave that with this final thought as I sit here and I play this. What you're seeing is you're seeing some little FPV drones over inside of Ukraine, and they're going in and out of tunnel systems looking for Russian troops. And this is more or less what the front line has turned into. People are dying all the freaking time over there. This is a Ukrainian drone hunting a Russian soldier. There he is. And now it's time to play find and go hide and go seek. Where's he at? Where's he at? Where's he at? You got to give this drone operator a little bit of credit. Like the maneuvers this guy is doing is insane. And like, imagine you're not, you know, you're basically doing this crap trying to find him. And then he comes through the door and boom, Bob's your uncle. And I love these videos because I can show them on YouTube and there's no explosion. There's no death. It's just assumed that that's what's taking place, right? This is the type of stuff that the current front line in Ukraine has turned into, more or less. There's a lot of other things going on. There's a lot of kinetic engagements. There's a lot of crap going on. But this is what all the soldiers are faced with right now. Something has to change. This can't stay this way forever. And what we saw today, if those reports are correct, is an escalation by Putin. And if Putin has escalated to that extent to where he feels the need to use chemical weapons, it's actually a very good sign. That's a sign that Putin is running out of munitions and he's worried about his financial supply, which is about to be cut the hell off. That's what that means. It means he's getting desperate. Hearing Iran ramp up, hearing Iran partner with Russia, hearing all of this crap that's taking place over the Middle East tells me also that they're getting desperate. And that's all fine and dandy when we look at it from the war standpoint. I have no doubt in war, we're going to make out just fine against these piles of garbage. My worry, again, goes back to the dollar. Like, truthfully, I think that's what Putin's after. I think Putin's entire freaking scheme, I think Xi's entire scheme, and we didn't even talk about what, like, Xi's been up to over the last freaking week. All right, and like what Xi was doing this weekend. He was going around freaking all of these key little Asian states running all over the dang place. There's a lot of other things that are over in Asia. A lot of other key pieces of technology that the U.S. ends up using. Our banking system, our freaking servers, our data centers. We have like a data sharing agreement. I forget what the hell it's called, but we have this agreement with all these different Asian states that are over there. And right now, as of 24 hours ago when I checked, Xi was on like a tour of all of these little Asian states. And I want you to think about this crap. If Xi's over there doing that and he's trying to set that crap up, well, what do you think the impact is going to be in addition to what we talked about with what Putin's doing? They don't have the ability right now to go toe-to-toe with the U.S. military. And I don't think the U.S. military, truthfully, has the industrial complex set up ready for sustained engagement with all of these other countries. This is how we defeated the freaking Soviet Union. We basically made them go bankrupt. And right now, with the U.S. at almost $40 trillion in debt, and you look at what the current president of the United States is doing, what he's directed his staff to do with trying to take budget cuts and everything else, I think they see the writing on the wall. Question is whether or not we're too far gone. And I don't know. Truthfully, I have no idea. I wish I could sit here and I could forecast the future to you. I can give you my thoughts on all of that crap, but that's what I've got. So we've got all of this crap coming out of the Middle East. We've got all of these, like, they're getting desperate around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could tell you what's going to end up transpiring over the next 7 to 10 days. I hope these peace talks with Iran go good. But at the same time, that's not going to stop us from attacking the Houthis and reopening the Red Sea, is it? No, it's not. And so that's still going to affect Russia. And so very much so, what we end up doing, just like I told you guys, you need to watch Putin and be very careful about what the Russian troops and what Putin are up to over inside of Ukraine, because that's going to telegraph the future based on all of this crap. They have different mind frames. They have different freaking like aspects and everything. Putin's much more aggressive. Iran wants to like puff their chest out and peacock, for lack of better terms. And Xi just wants to like float through everything and make everything happen behind. Right. But their common link is that the West has been oppressing all of them. I wish I could tell you what's going to come through. I can't. I really can't. What I can tell you is that the next week to 2 weeks is going to be very, very interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and sign off for the evening. I'll be right back bright and early tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. I had, how do you want to say? some anti-Semitic things I was dealing with this morning in conjunction with a bunch of other crap. I will be here tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. I look forward to seeing you guys then. Peace, love, happiness.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.